107 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings on this Tuesday. Glad to have you here. Lots to talk about this hour. And it was a momentous day, to say the least. Yet, well, it depends on how you look at it. It was yesterday our time. It was Tuesday Singapore time. How about just, we'll just deal with our time. Yesterday evening our time, and a sit-down meeting between the dictator of North Korea, Kim Jong-un, and President Trump. As I said earlier, you know, whatever comes of this, and I'm still the cynic when it comes to dealing with North Korea, just because I've seen how it goes, and usually they pull the football away right there at the last minute. But there has to be something said for any time you can have a face-to-face meeting with an adversary, or I'll say it, an enemy out there, and thaw those relations. I think that's got to be a good thing. President Trump spoke to that yesterday.
So we're signing a very important document, a pretty comprehensive document, and we've had a really great term together, a great relationship.
Chairman Kim has told me that North Korea is already destroying a major missile engine testing site. That's not in your signed document. We agreed to that after the agreement was signed. That's a big thing for the...
All right. Well, a little bit of what the president had to say yesterday, and we'll get to more of those clips. We want to get reaction from the namesake of QuinnHillier.com and also the author of Matt Jones Heretic. Quinn Hillier, hey, man.
Good morning, y'all.
Good morning. So am I... You know, I'm pretty impressed with what happened yesterday. I think that, you know, whatever the outcome of this, I'm cynical enough to not think it's all going to be puppy dogs and ice cream here, but it is an advancement. If you're looking at that, you know, the Armageddon clock, they always say, oh, we're 6 seconds till midnight on the Armageddon clock. It had to move that second hand back some.
Yes and no. Look, we have to root for this process to work. We have to pray for our president to do the right things and the smart things with his very smart team. But, you know, this is the kind of thing where you don't even trust but verify, like Reagan said in this case with North Korea, you don't trust and you double verify. There were a lot of warning signs people were pointing to overnight, and they're worth talking about just to temper expectations, not to criticize the president, but to temper expectations, because this still has a long way to go. I can sort of run down about four things that are worrisome without meaning to say that this is not a good thing. It is. We hope it's a good thing, but, you know, we've got to understand some of the concerns.
Okay, yeah, I mean, because I think that's fair to do, but I think that anywhere beyond where we are right now with that relationship is an improvement. I mean, if there's some thaw, I don't, you know, it may not be the denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula, but opening up channels of communications can't hurt.
Unless it suckers us into something.
That's something people. So yeah, how would that be done? How do you see that playing out?
Well, that if you're dealing with egos, if you're dealing with expectations that are too high that make the pressure for a deal too great, if you're not paying attention exactly how verification goes, if you were helping a tottering regime re-legitimize itself against any internal actors that might otherwise somehow be able to topple it. There are all sorts of little things that could make this worse rather than better. Still, it might be worth a try.
Let me go back for a second there, because that part is interesting, and I discussed it this morning. I haven't seen, you know, anything that makes me... Now, obviously, I don't get a free information flow. There's no FOIA request to North Korea, but it seems like those in the North Korean army that would have challenged Kim Jong-un have been shot out of the end of a howitzer or poisoned or killed some other way. I mean, is he really on the edge of some sort of coup there? Because I wonder, even if you inflate him, which I think this does, president meeting with the president of the United States inflates him, but was there a chance of any kind of regime overthrow happening anytime soon in North Korea?
We don't think so.
Okay, so what does it matter? He's still a dictator. You know, he's going to be a dictator before. He's going to be a dictator after. Yeah. I'm looking for the American people. Yeah, if I could fix the plight of those people easily, sure. But we got to protect our interests, right?
We do, but the question is, does this do it? We've got to hope it does. Hats off to the president and his team, Secretary of State Pompeo, for trying. But the prestige of the United States and of the presidency is such that that never before has it been squandered to meet with such a bad actor face to face. I mean, it's, you know, it's sort of a diplomatic no-no to meet with such a bad actor face to face without guaranteed concessions, and we didn't get any concessions last night. Here's what we've got. We got a recommitment to something that had already been agreed to on April 27th, and that was not for any, no word, complete and verifiable denuclearization, but just, quote, work toward denuclearization. That's exactly what they have said for 20 years, by the way. That's nothing new. And now they're saying, well, they said it on April 27th, and we're recommitting to it. Well, on April 27th, it recommitted to what was said on, you know, April 27th of 1998. So there's no material progress here, and yet you've got the North Korean flag, which is an abomination, up there next to, and frankly, put in a position overshadowing American flags. You know, there is some symbolism involved that is not good. Again, I say all of this saying I'm slightly more hopeful than not, and I don't want to oversell the negative. It's just that so much of the positive is being said that I'm just sort of being the devil's advocate here, saying these are some of the things we got to be concerned about.
And Quinn, I think the president and his team have kind of, at least over the last week, they tempered the expectations coming out of this first meeting and kind of said, you know, this will be the first of many meetings and we won't have a major breakthrough this meeting. But you mentioned that it's a diplomatic no-no usually to have a face-to-face meeting with the president and someone of Kim Jong-un's, you know, of what he's done in the past. I mean, he's just a horrible dictator. But whose standards is it a diplomatic no-no? You know, because isn't it time to try something new? Obviously, what we've been doing really hasn't worked in years,
well,
and ever.
It might be. And that's why, you know, that's why I know by bringing up the drawbacks, I'm sounding negative. I'm doing that again to just temper people's understandings and expectations. Overall, you know, we've got to hope that this works, and other stuff hasn't, so maybe this does. But the presidency is something not to be bartered lightly. There is such a thing as international standing, not just, you know, whether or not he survives a coup at home, but there's international standing that gets conferred on somebody like this that might make him less of a pariah and therefore help him even get, you know, more, you know, material that he turns around and uses for nefarious purposes. We've got to be careful is what I'm saying. I mean, just last night there were satellite images that came out. It looks like North Korea is expanding its labor camps, building more of them. And, you know, these basically slave labor punish your political enemies camp.
Listen,
nothing said yesterday about human rights. That is usually an absolute must for a breakthrough arrangement like this with a bad actor. You've got to get some sort of commitment or something on human rights. Not a single word said on that. So again, just be cautious.
Well, always cautious for the North Koreans, but I think anything from American interest that opens up lines of communication is a good thing. All right, coming right back, more with Quinn Hillier. We'll talk about Canada and the tariffs, also the runoffs here in Alabama. All straight ahead on Mobile Mornings. All right, 822 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings on this Tuesday. Segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. My buddy Trey Bennett, 10-year anniversary, local franchisee, Mobile and Baldwin Counties for 1-800-GOT-JUNK. I've told you all the great stuff they can do for you, how easy it is to set the appointment, but let me tell you a little something about the proprietor there and Trey Bennett. We talked about this story, I think, a year ago, that the man who started 1-800-GOT-JUNK has a litmus test for the people that that asked to be franchisees. And one of his tests is, would I want to hang out with that person? After meeting him, he said, would I want to hang out with that person, grill out in the backyard, and drink beers? Is it that kind of person? And he said, I mean, when he did that, he had changed his business model to find people like that, and then the company took off because he knew those were that kind of vibe told him what he already had, somebody with hustle and ambition who was trying to be a franchisee. But how were they with people? He said, after I met them, if I wanted to invite them to my house to hang out, then they're the kind of people that I would want as a representative of our company.
So you get rid of the junk and gain a friend.
That's right. You do gain a friend and a good guy. At 10 years for 1-800-GOT-JUNK in Mobile and Baldwin Counties. Congratulations to Trey Bennett. Give him a call. Set that appointment, 1-800-GOT-JUNK, or online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. All right, return to our conversation with Quinn Hillier from QuinnHillier.com, also the author of Mad Jones Heretic, that is available right now on Amazon, right?
Available on Amazon. My second book is coming out very soon, by the way, in about 3 weeks. But also, Saturday, June 23rd, I'm signing Mad Jones Heretic at Carpe Diem Coffee Shop, Saturday morning, June 23rd, 10 to noon.
Oh, good deal.
Come on by.
All right, so somebody go ahead and get your copy. I don't know, usually, heck, Amazon can have it to you within 15 minutes, but make sure you have it before that Saturday.
Oh no! I'll have some on hand to sign.
Okay. Oh, very good.
Yeah,
very good.
You can buy them from me there.
All right. Good deal. All right. Let's continue our conversation. Now, in international, we've gone from North Korean politics to Canadian politics, and it's been as President Trump left the G7, had what he said was Trudeau stabbing him in the back, and then he had some fiery rhetoric back across the 48th parallel. What's your take?
Okay, this time I'm not even going to try to be nice to Trump. This was outrageous behavior. It's the first time in my life I've ever thought that a Trudeau was more reasonable than any American president. I watched again and again what Trudeau said. He barely said anything. He was polite. He was very soft-spoken. And he just made the point that Canada should not be pushed around when it comes to tariffs. And he said it very quickly, he said it very politely, and he was done with it. And to get that sort of response, he didn't stab anybody in the back. He stood up for his country. And frankly, on the policy, he's absolutely right. It is insane. It is literally economically insane to put major tariffs on our number one ally in the world, and what Trump's doing with trade is very, very dangerous to our economy. And if he keeps it up, within 4, 5, 6 months, we could have a major economic crisis.
Well, okay, and I've talked about that and the fear of inflation. But if you're going to stick with the policy, if you're going to stick with what President Trump has been moving on with, asking for the United States to get a even shake from its trading partners, you don't think he has a point?
Of course he has a point, but there's ways to go about getting an even shake, and then there's this incredible overreaction to a couple of very minor points of contention. And in response to a few minor points of contention, you slap these huge major tariffs on your major trading partner in a way that hurts your own consumers at least as much as it hurts them. That just makes no sense. And then to blow up the G7 meeting, to say that Putin and Russia should be allowed back in despite all the horrible things they've done in recent years, to to do everything else you can to blow up the G7 meeting, and then to leave it by these verbal bombs, his aide saying there's, quote, a special place in hell for Canada. This is just nuts. It's not accomplishing anything.
All right.
Nothing.
So let's talk about this, too. We just have a few minutes left. I want to get your take now. In the rear view, primary Tuesday in the state of Alabama, runoffs are coming. July 17th, I think, is, without mm-hmm. it being in front, July 17th. What's your take on the lay of the land of the runoffs?
Well, first of all, I'm not tremendously happy with many of the results. But the lay of the land is that Alabamians seem to, for good reason, be sick of politics. With all these special elections, with all the bad national attention, all the anecdotal evidence showed they weren't paying a lot of attention. They weren't really excited about these elections. And what they did is, in just about every case, they voted for the person whose name was the most familiar. So there was absolutely nothing in the way of shaking things up, well, at least on the Republican side. It was whoever had the biggest name, whoever had the office now or had the office before, was the person that either won or were the people that ended up in the runoff. It was a status quo, don't bother us election, for good or for ill.
Now, what about turnout? I mean, we talk about turnout being low for that primary. Will it be more robust or will it be even more anemic during this runoff?
Oh, boy, that's hard to say. I would probably guess that in the runoff it's going to be anemic. Remember, you don't have a runoff for governor on the Republican side, and that's what usually galvanizes people, as if there's a runoff for the top office. And since there's so many more Republicans and Democrats in the state, and since you can't vote in one party's primary runoff if you voted in the other's original mm-hmm. primary, that means there are going to be a lot of Republicans who basically only go out to vote for the top, you know, for the top race. They'll just stay home. And so I think the turnout in the runoff is going to be very low. Now, in the fall, the general election, it might be a lot higher. But the runoff, I don't expect a very high turnout at all.
Do you believe this blue wave that will lead to a Democrat governor of the state of Alabama with Maddox?
I don't think that would be a result of a blue wave, which may or may not happen nationally. I do think Maddox has a chance. It's a long shot, but it's a chance, if only because he does come across as more vigorous, more polished, and more with a plan. And if Kay Ivey either keeps ducking public appearances or if she tries a public appearance and falls flat on her face, it could give Maddox a chance. It's still a long shot. But if he has a chance, it would be because of things unique to Alabama and of the appearance he makes vis-a-vis Kay Ivey, not because of any national blue wave, which may or may not happen.
There he is, Quint Hillier, QuintHillier.com. Mad Jones Heretic signing coming up when?
Signing is two Saturdays from now, Saturday, June 23rd, 10 a.m. at Carpe Diem.
Great stuff. Thank you, Quinn. Coming right back. Grab your phone calls at 343-0106. We roll on now with Mobile Mornings.
Good Tuesday morning, 836 on FM Talk 106.5. This segment of the show brought to you by LinkedIn. So if you're a business owner looking for some new help, well, you probably don't need me to tell you that the right hire could have a huge impact on your business, probably also on your life, too. That's why it's crucial you make sure your job post reaches the most qualified candidates that you can reach. You can try posting on job boards, but if you do that, do you really know who's going to come across the job post? When you post your job on LinkedIn, it reaches 70%. 80% of the U.S. workforce. And unlike those job boards, LinkedIn is a community that career-focused people visit every day to grow professionally and explore job opportunities. LinkedIn Jobs intelligently targets candidates based on their skills, recommendations, even how open they are to new opportunities like yours. And those insights are only available on the LinkedIn network. The result is that your job posting is matched to the best people for the job. It's probably why a new hire is made every 10 seconds using LinkedIn. And right now you can go to LinkedIn.com/WAVH to get a $50 credit towards your first job post. That's LinkedIn.com/WAVH for your $50 credit. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, you're closer than you think. 8:37 now on FM Talk 106.5. Talking lots of Kim Jong-un and Trump this morning.
Yeah, for sure. Looking through the text messages, we're coming to the phones, but looking through the text messages here, this one, more of the somewhat haiku-like text from Taxman. NOCO, as in North Korea, NOCO, a process, not flip of switch. This is negotiation, not rolling dice. Americans, impatient fools. Texter says, Quinn will never like anything Trump does. He finds everything possible to bash any of the president's actions. Terry's saying, I think I feel like most Americans, and that is that most of these G7 countries are freeloading relatives who get PO'd when they are asked to pay their fair share.
Huh.
Let's go to the phones. And John in Mobile, first up. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. Hey. I think I got to quit listening on Tuesday mornings to when Quinn's on because my blood pressure goes through the roof. About the G7 and, you know, fake eyebrow Trudeau. Sorry. Ball game's different. We don't bow to anybody anymore. You know, we did for 8 years. We bowed to everybody in the world. Apologize for America. And this is a... You know, he's doing negotiations, and, you know, when based on Mr. Nostradamus' Hillier's track record, I stand behind the president. I'm proud of what happened. Time will tell if it works.
Yeah,
Donald Trump said that.
But John, let me play devil's advocate for a second here and say I understand standing up for the United States, but in a situation where you have a strong ally like Canada, should that be done in back channels? Should that not be done in a public forum?
What has worked? What has been done in the past hasn't worked. You know, we're paying Canadian tariffs right now before anything gets put on from us. On a lot of our products, we have to pay tariffs to Canada. Okay? And basically what Trump said is, I want a free trade, fair trade between the two, and no tariffs. And Germany bought, that's, if you look at that picture with Trump sitting down, that's what they're pissed about. Germany, Canada, all of them, their free ride's over, and they're pissed about it. Okay? And, sorry, Quinn, new day. As far as North Korea, the thing that, when I was watching it, because I'm kind of like a political junkie, if y'all haven't figured it out yet, the thing, when I knew Trump had him where he wanted, if you look after they first meet and shake hands, and they're walking down that hall, and Kim walks by the door they're supposed to go in, and Trump tells him where we need to go, and Kim's like a bobblehead doll. His head's swimming. He doesn't know what to do. Sure, they might lie. He might do the rest of it the way, you know, I mean, he might do things the way his father and his grandfather did. Time will tell. But, you know, maybe Quinn would have been happier with Trump had we sent him $150 billion like we did Iran.
Well, I don't know that he... that's fair, but I get where you're going with the John. Got to grab some other calls.
And, you know, Quinn, he seemed a lot more fair on the Trump-North Korea meeting last night. Quinn wasn't, he didn't seem to be, he said it was worth the shot, and we'll see what comes out of it. He didn't seem to be attacking President Trump for that meeting. Now, the Trudeau thing, that's a different situation.
Yeah, and there's, and the question is, and once again, this tariff thing with Canada is fairly complex because they are they're a socialist system to some degree. In other words, they have a lot of supply management stuff that goes on in their country, which kind of we do a little bit with the Farm Bill. But you have tariffs, they said the tariff on dairy was 270%. That is the amount. That's true. After you reach a certain quota of what can be sold to Canada, then it goes over. This stuff is, they're real. Let's talk about facts. And these things are facts. John was right. But that's just part of the equation. It's not the entirety of dairy exports. And I like the idea of fighting for the United States. But with your allies, you wonder if you do that with a kind of behind the scenes, like somebody who's an enemy out there, you do it publicly and ramp up the rhetoric game with allies. You play that game a little differently. I don't know. What do you think? Let's go to David in Mobile. Hey, David.
Hey, guys. Sean, you and I and Dalton could talk tariffs all day long, so I'm going to keep my focus on North Korea this morning. And I find it interesting that the liberal news media and liberal Hollywood are criticizing Trump for meeting with Kim Jong-un and not really getting any sort of firm deal, hammered out. But that's not the way deals work. Deals are a process. It's going to take months of negotiation to implement the what was agreed to yesterday. But what's important is that the leaders of the two countries have and develop a relationship. And I think that was what yesterday was all about, was to develop that relationship. And Trump said it himself, having a relationship with the North Korean leader is important. And, and liberals preach that all the time when they're in power or when they're criticizing Trump. They're saying you need to have a relationship that you can back up on. Just see what they're doing with the allies and the G7. They're saying you're destroying decades of relationships. Well, now he's developing a new relationship and you're criticizing for him. Speak with consistency, because if you don't, you sound like a hypocrite.
There you go. Appreciate the call. Leaves line open at 343-0106. Yes.
And that's one thing that's been pointed out a lot on Twitter and online, is how hypocritical, and it's going to be like this for every single thing that President Trump does, or for that matter, anybody that's in office, that Trump, when he was, attacking Kim Jong-un with words, they're saying, how could you do this? You're putting us on the brink of the world ending in a nuclear war.
Yeah, remember. Yeah.
And then last night, Trump meeting with Kim Jong-un, trying to tamp down the possibilities of a nuclear war. And the problem is, why are you getting so close to this dictator? Why are you trying to? So I think it's going to be like that, and it has been like that, anything that Trump does.
All right. I want to hear from you. 343-0106. Also, what's your vote? Kelly voted number two on the
choice.
I'm glad
you get my sense of humor.
I do.
Because
the grown-ups are operating in here.
Well, some things you just shouldn't print. You just shouldn't say.
So I put up on the Twitter feed, we had the story earlier, I hope you caught it, about one of the many things that traveled with Kim Jong-un, not only security detail and vehicle and food and all this so he couldn't be poisoned. They had multiple planes, so you had a decoy plane. He also traveled with his own potty.
Mm-hmm.
People have asked if it, I don't think it was a squatty potty. I don't know, but I have put up some pictures of some travel potties here that possibly could have traveled with the North Korean dictator. I'd love for you to tell me which one of, you like the bumper one, don't you?
Yeah, that one looks like it'd be fun, and you don't even have to stop moving.
That's right. You do it while you're, don't give people ideas, please. All right, 8:45, coming right back. Right, 850 FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings on this Tuesday. Sean, Dalton, Kelly, Dr. Bill, Kane with traffic, and you. Head to the phones in a second here at 343-0106. And playing coy with me, trying to find out what, did you get the new Mazda? And you said you wouldn't tell me. Until you tell all of us together.
I wouldn't tell everyone to get. See, I'm okay. All about fairness,
okay,
treating
fine.
Everyone
the
same.
Fine. I was just trying to get a little inside information, inside trader information.
The scoop.
Yeah.
The scoopage.
So what's the deal?
It makes sense with what you've been talking about.
What's the story here?
The story is, yes, I turned in the newlywed mobile, the two-seater Mazda Miata, and I have a brand new whip, as they say.
Yeah, that's what the kids say. What'd
that's
you get?
That's what the young folks say.
What'd you get?
2018 Mazda 3 Touring.
Oh, cool. So
very nice.
When you talk about the three, and you're talking about touring. Uh-huh. Tell us about this.
So there's different levels of packaging. What I'm going to do today, though, is I'm going to introduce you to what it is we're doing. So under the Dean McCrary umbrella, I get to test out new vehicles every 2 weeks or so, and I give you my feedback. I also sprinkle in my family's feedback, and then, of course, show you the all-important grocery shopping shot.
Yes. I like that shot. That makes sense to me.
So this vehicle is perfect for you if you're trying to get to know the Mazda brand, let's just say, whether it's your first car, the car that you purchased for your kid headed to college. Mazda hears you, and so they're delivering with this Mazda 3 Touring. So there's three levels of packaging. This is the Touring. Throughout the week and next week, I'll tell you more about what that package includes because there's so many bells and whistles, which is a good thing, right? But first up, we do want to talk about safety. 2018 Top Safety Pick. Rated by IIHS. This is a four-seat vehicle, leather interior, five-star rating. Because when you think about it, when you're purchasing a vehicle, yeah, you want to look good. But you also want to safely get your precious cargo.
Keep everybody looking good.
There you go. And make it to your destination. So we're going to talk about safety. We're going to talk about the bells and whistles. Of course, storage space. So here's what already I see what I like is the trunk is massive. And then you can put the back seat down. So that means you've got more storage space, more mama purse space.
Yes.
You know, if you we do all types of activities from a sporting standpoint. So you've got these options. You have a sunroof, backup camera, and the push button start, just to name a few. So again, I will post updates on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Many people like to see these. I have yet to name this vehicle.
Ooh, so and it's early on the process. All right.
Yes, he's something. He's
all right,
something.
Y'all check him out.
Time for a new poll.
Yeah, there we go. All right. And go, of course, see him in person on the East I-65 Service Road.
That's
at Dean
very,
McCrary
thank
Mazda.
You. You're such a great teammate. And you can also call 471-DEAN if you have questions.
All right, we'll go to the phones. But first, though, no, somebody had mentioned about the potty question.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Whether the squad, I have no word yet if.
This is Larry King. Welcome to another edition of Potty Talk. I'm
yes.
Judy Edwards, the co-creator of the Squatty Potty. That's the miraculous small toilet stool seen on TV Shark Tank.
I don't know if Larry King and the Squatty Potty were there with Kim Jong-un. I'm not sure.
You know, if you know people from Boston, you know, they say party. It's a kind of...
Squatty Potty.
Well, and I like the fact that he's branded the show, which is not a show, Potty Talk. So he's gone from hosting the Larry Lag King
My
show
girl
to...
My wants to potty all the time.
Complete rework of the Eddie Murphy song.
I could listen to Larry King talk about stools all day, like he was there.
Oh!
He said stool.
Look, we've got like tons of people named Dave on the phone waiting for us. So we'll go down the Dave. Dave in Pensacola. First up, hey Dave.
Hey, well, I did that as a courtesy because I'm driving into work in Mobile, Roll Tide, but you know, that I had to differentiate myself.
Okay.
So,
very good.
Trying to mix it up. Hey, speaking of Larry's, I'll tell you, I wanted to qualify, you know, there were two things you guys were recently mentioning. You were talking about the tariff issue and especially the recent remarks by Trudeau, and then you were also talking about North Korean diplomacy efforts, you know. With regard to the tariffs, I just wanted to say a brief thing. First of all, you know, my prayers go out to Larry Kudlow.
Yeah.
He is the individual that I base a lot. You know, he speaks without rancor. He's, you know, nonpartisan. That guy is, his remarks about the tariffs and why our actions are more defensive in nature. I don't think they're bullying. You know, we're just standing up to historical tariffs and trade imbalances. And you know, I'm not just trying to say to the Trump parrot, but I'm telling you, when Larry was
We're gonna put Dave on hold. Hey, Philip, if you see, we can get a better signal for him. And I'd like to finish talking to Dave, but we got to get a better signal. Maybe Dave in Mobile has a better signal. Hey, Dave.
Yeah, I'm hoping I have a better signal.
Lot better.
Call him a car face, Kelly. That's going to be your new. I gotta point something out about this whole Trudeau versus Kim thing. Everybody that has been running for presidency in the last five, six elections has been talking about we're going to have transparency, we need to have more transparency. Well, now we have a guy that does it, and he does it to a fault, to where even when he thinks about something that we would consider a stoner thought at 2:00 in the morning, he tweets it out. So him being transparent with Trudeau and going public with these ideas and these statements rallies the people behind him, because now it's like, okay, well, this guy's really thinking about me. You know, here I am, I'm a dairy farmer or whatever, and I got this going on the radio, and then this is what comes up. So it makes sense to me that there would be this much coming from him, and I really think it's hilarious how 20 years ago, media would kill to be able to know what's going on in the president's head as quickly as we know now. But instead, they're using it as a platform to attack every single decision he makes. The whole Reagan-esque style, if he died today, they'd be pissed off because he didn't die yesterday.
There you go, Dave. I appreciate
this. This is
call.
Caller of the day, Dave.
Yeah. David Mobile. Dave, let's do this. Well, although maybe Dave in Pensacola, I think we got a better signal on him. Let him finish up. Hey, Dave.
I'm getting closer every mile.
put the antenna up. Yes.
Hey, listen, I'll pull it tight. The last thing I left you with, and I didn't mean long-winded, all I was saying was Larry Kudlow, his interpretation of it, that we're being defensive. You know, all we're trying to do is establish some kind of equality in trade balance, and so I can take that to the bank. There now, with go. Regard to North Korean diplomacy, I think what Trump's doing is a lot better. You know, everybody wants to say he's meeting with a dictator, but look what Obama did, President Obama. He met with the, you know, the Iranians were shipping arms over to the Iraqis to kill troops when I was over in Iraq. So, those guys are pretty bad, too. And he gives them $400 billion, you know, on a pallet flown in on an aircraft. So I think Trump's doing a pretty good job, relatively speaking.
There you go, Dave. Appreciate your call. Thank you very much.
Well, that number, does anybody remember what that exact number was? That number keeps growing. Earlier, yeah, it was $150 billion.
Yeah, I think it is $150 billion. Okay. And, you know, and I ranted about that when it happened, right? And, they, you know, as part of this, just for a little backstory for people to know, the argument for those that said it was an okay thing, it was money they said that was seized when the Shah took over, right? And we seized Iranian assets here in the country. It was mm-hmm. money that was theirs that they were getting back. That has been what we're told. The fact that we bring it in, and it wasn't all, I think, $150 million in cash on pallets, or $150 billion in cash on pallets, like Dave said, where he said $400, but they came in on pallets. Mm-hmm. Then there was a mix of other currencies, because I was wondering, I said, you know, the cash thing, the fact that we are giving them what they need in American currency, in greenbacks that give them extra buying power in the world, maybe we should have given it back to them in, you know, just a Venmo or a PayPal thing or something like that. Bitcoin, what would it be doing now?
Maybe even Podcoin, who, of course, flew Dennis Rodman to North Korea.
I haven't even gotten a chance to get into Dennis Rodman stuff. We will in the midday, as Dennis Rodman had a big presence yesterday in Singapore.
The tweet I put out, the president is showing Kim Jong-un his limousine.
No, I've got to go see it.
Yes, please do.
On Twitter?
Yes. At Kelly K2K Finley.
All right. We'll do it all again tomorrow morning.
Don't give me those eyeballs.
This is Larry King. Welcome to another edition of Potty Talk. I'm with
All right. Laura Ingraham next.
Out of control.